Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
You know, harder.
Well, I mean, not something that you'd be looking to really resell, is it?
Well, that's what I was saying, if I get it and it's not. Like, if I get another one of these situations where there's something wrong, I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
But what I mean, was crazy was...
No, I mean, it makes sense. It's that there's not, like, a great... I don't want to say not great return policy, but very, very limited options.
Yeah, for a parts caster, yeah, there isn't, like... That's valuable to you because you designed that the way you wanted it. And everybody else is like, is I want the Fender name on it. Yeah.
I don't even like the funny thing is I mean, yes, there's quality considerations when it comes to materials made, but in general, especially if you're playing, you know, you're not just collecting, you're playing it. I mean, it's nothing to buy a mid-range model and replace the guts with some higher end stuff. I mean, that's I've got a Squire P-Base body. But it's all, you know, higher end guts in it.
Guts.
I mean, that's what you do. I mean, that's like the smart way to do it. So
that's what this is. This is a made in Mexico Stratocaster. The neck is a rosewood neck that I swapped out. The pickups are Lawler vintage pickups. So the body is the only thing in here that's original. So yeah, you're right.
I know. You guys ready to do this?
I'm ready to do this. Oh, just to be clear, my shirt is not into opposition of the topic. It's really weird. I had on a Marvel shirt for the last 2 days, and then this afternoon I was like, you know, I should shower. Like, I should.
Showing off his home state.
No, yeah, I was farting.
Oh, you were just farting. That's great, Nick.
The C stands for hope.
Hello and welcome to Breaking Deep Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of the Genreverse Podcast Network and LRM Online. I'm sorry, I'm trying to put my sounder back. There it goes. On today's show, we're going to be having a conversation about all of the announcements from D23. So we have stuff from Marvel. We've got stuff from Star Wars. We've got stuff from Lucasfilm. It's a big show. I was going to start with one particular thing, but then I changed my mind. But we are still going to do something different. We've got trailers kind of mixed in. Usually we front load those, but we're going to jump around a little bit.
Make
on today's show.
Producer.
Is it hard? Is
no,
it difficult? Is that hard?
It's
is
not
it?
That big of a deal.
Okay. Man, should have said something. But on today's show, as you heard, we've got the producer, we've got Kyle Malone, and we've also got Nick Dahl. So it's a semi-classic show, right? Mm-hmm. It's a classic with an upgrade button.
Classic Plus.
In the background. Classic Plus. I like it. Classic Max. Classic Plus. What's another one of those that they name stuff?
Classic Prime.
Classic Prime. Which of the... I think I like all three of those. I'm going to be greedy. I'll figure it out. I'll figure out which one I like more. But we're going to jump into probably... This is probably my favorite of the things that we got. So we're going to do in this order. We're going to do Star Wars. We're going to do Marvel. And then we're going to do Lucasfilm. Is that all right with you, Nick?
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Let's jump into it. With Star Wars, the big one, for at least for me, was The Mandalorian. So the trailer for this one... I thought it was gorgeous. We got a little bit of a recap in this trailer. So we got everything up until this point. So we got scenes from season one. We got scenes from season two. But there's a bunch of new stuff of Grogu and Din. And it's a little bit of Grogu and Din versus the world / galaxy. I'm excited to see the clan of two back. But I think what I'm most excited about for this trailer is not only does it look gorgeous, but I remember it was definitely me, Nick, and Jammer having a conversation about something someone on the production team said about this is like our Game of Thrones, right? Like we're like, this is going to be our Game of Thrones. And we were having it like, what the fuck does that mean? And I was the most sour of the group, like fuck Game of Thrones. Like, I don't do that. It seems like with the regal, I don't know, gamesmanship about who's going to sit on the throne with Bo-Katan and the Darksaber coming into play last season, I feel like we're going to get that promise. I don't know if that's what they actually meant, but I'm curious, what did you make of any of what I just said, Nick, in the trailer as a whole?
I thought it looked really cool, like normal. I mean, it's the one I'm most excited for, even the new stuff that's farther off in the distance. I'm like, eh. But this dragged me back in the trailer. I didn't think I was that excited about Star Wars after watching Book of Boba Fett and what was the dreadful one? Oh yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow.
That show, the more I look back at it, I'm like, there was 5 minutes of material in that show.
I have no idea what you wanted from that show.
Something more than a guy walking around with a girl. But I don't know. It looks cool. Yeah, I really like the setup with kind of the fight for whatever's left of Mandalore. Okay. And basically the throne with the Darksaber. And you know, them being more opposing figures than they were in the last season of Mandalorian. But also we'll see if he ever takes his helmet off now that he's no longer part of the religious sect or whatever she accuses him of being in, since he was kicked out. Mandalore No More. So that should be the subtitle. I can almost call it Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man No More.
And I might be making this up too, but I swear I remember someone saying that the Darksaber was basically their Excalibur. So all of that is kind of feeding into it. Can't believe he didn't like Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I guess you would call it like The Last of Us Obi-Wan Kenobi or Last of Us Star Wars. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We won't have too long to wait for this one. This one's going to come out in February of 2023.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a relatively short wait. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it won't be the awful Star Wars that you think Obi-Wan was.
It's so bad. I want my time back. Like, it's so bad. I wish I didn't watch it.
Wow. It's not that bad. You're insane. Rogue Squadron, a little bit of bad news for fans of Rogue Squadron, either from the films or the Michael Stackpole books. So Patty Jenkins had a space dogfight film, possibly series that was going, not television series, but series of films that was going to come out. This was initially going to come out in December of 2023, but it looks like because it's not going to make it in time to start filming, they've taken it out of that slot. So Nick, at this point, one, are you disappointed this is coming off the schedule? And two, now that this is off the schedule, do you think that we're going to get a film from either Jenkins, Waititi, or Johnson first?
It sounded like a cool idea, but I knew they would, I don't know. I never really, like the title, you're like, oh, hell yeah, Rogue Squadron, where I don't think this, it would have been the movie I actually wanted.
You had a vote of no
get.
Confidence in Chancellor Jenkins?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, did you not see Wonder Woman 84? I mean, or yeah, 84.
To counter Kyle, a lot of great directors have a bad film. So,
well, I'll just say this on it. Remember when... during the 84 press thing, she came out and maybe even before talked about the amount of control she had on the original movie. And these are her own words versus control on 84. She said the Snyders, Zack and his wife and execs in Warner Brothers had more say in the first film, and that she by her own words, said that she had complete control, creative choices, the writing, the editing. She was the one that pushed for the two opening, you know, openings of the movie, and they gave her everything. That when said that, that's when I got scared for Rogue Squadron. I've got my original copy of the book sitting behind me. Like, I was okay with the idea at first. And when I heard her say that Wonder Woman was Wonder Woman 84 was her baby, she got what she wanted. Nope. I'm out. Bye-bye.
You would have seen it. And again, it would be ignorant.
I mean, he watched Obi-Wan
filmmaker
too.
On one film.
Oh, okay.
Especially when her first movie won the Academy Award. I don't know if she won it or Charlize Theron won it.
I love how we pick and choose when an Academy Award accolade means something and when it doesn't. I mean,
it never does.
Thank you, Jonesy.
Yeah,
but it never does. I think the first film we will see is Taika Waititi's, because I don't think there's anyone else in the running to have the next film be by
Johnson.
Johnson's busy as fuck with Glass Onion. Well, the one after the Glass Onion, who knows what it will be called. And he's even like Jam and I discussed the other week, where I don't think you were on that one, Jonesy, where you had a quote where he's like, oh yeah, mine's still happening, but it sounds like the thing people say all the time where it's like, oh yeah, mine's gonna happen in like 10 years, and you're like, yeah,
no,
yeah,
why say anything at all?
I don't know, because someone asked him. Because somebody asked him.
Okay.
I felt like all these direct get trapped into like, do you hate Marvel or do you like Marvel thing? We're like,
yeah.
Scorsese wouldn't have said he disliked Marvel if no one asked him his opinion on Marvel. It's not like he went out of his way to be like, Marvel's terrible.
I think they did, and I would have to go look, and I'm not going to do that. I actually do for Rogue Squadron. I have a question for you about this, Kyle. So this project was not going to be based on the book or the video games at all. No. So the question I have for you is, what era would you want it to be set in?
Personally, I wanted them to take the idea of Stackpole's books, but replace Ackbar with Wedge, where he's an admiral in the military, replace Wedge with Poe, where Poe is the commander reforming Rogue Squadron in the aftermath of the fall of the
Horn.
They tease Qur'an and Obi-Wan Kenobi, so he'd be a bit old for that by now, but potentially you could have, you know, done something similar and then go take Coruscant from the First Order. I mean, you literally could take the books and update them. However, given that would be like my dream thing, the one thing I didn't want was two things I didn't want. One, I didn't want flight school, because Rogue Squadron is more like selection. You know what I'm saying? It's more like Ranger school or the Q course. It's not basic.
You're already the best of the best,
right? And it's bringing the best of the best together to train to go do something
so you wanted Maverick, you didn't want Maverick. Top Gun.
Yeah, I was about to compare it to Maverick. Where it's like,
oh, go ahead, Nick.
Where they were like, you'd think
we're
Maverick
already the
would,
best of the best. Who's gonna train us?
Well, you'd think with Maverick coming out, they'd be more excited for this project, even if they had to replace Patty Jenkins. But it's almost like I feel like they're almost saying the opposite, where they're like,
and
shit, why bother making movies about flight anymore?
I was gonna say that we had heard Mike's sources and you guys will talk about how one of our source stories turned out not to come true. The one about Ezra Bridger later.
Ezra
but
Bridger, yeah.
we had heard via sources from Mike had heard from sources that technology for filming Rogue Squadron was a factor. How big of a factor, how much more of a factor, we never could, you know,
really
get, but that the because they really wanted something that looked more than just a whole of a ship filmed in the volume. Like, they wanted more than that, even though the volume does allow for realistic lighting, but they wanted more than what they have right now. Again, this is allegedly. If so, besides not wanting it in flight school, the only other thing I really cared about was that it wasn't in the OT or PT era, like away from that. So way in the future. It didn't matter if it was Poe or further. But I do think it would have been really, really easy, especially for that, the first two books, the Taking of Coruscant. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been really
translated.
Yeah. Well translated, just updating it. Like I said, Wedge in Akbar's spot and Poe in Wedge's spot. So
it's interesting what you say about the technology, because I, you know, say what you will about the movie, I still think back on that opening scene from Revenge of the Sith, and I still remember being like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I really loved, that's interesting. Siri just said, thanks, glad to help. I don't know what I, whatever. yeah, I remember watching that.
They just
sent
Disney our conversation, and that's how they're going to get our the movie.
yeah, I thought that was a fantastic opening scene. So it's interesting to me that, you know, 20 years on or however long it's been, that's still a concern. I guess I get it. Fine. Whatever. Sure. But yeah, I like that idea. I think it would have been fun to see Poe kind of in that role. Because it would have been the payoff for his interactions with Holdo and Leia, right? The idea that you need to become a leader, right? Dead heroes don't help anybody. And so it would have been nice to see that kind of evolution. But you know what you need for that? Fucking plan. Now that we've dropped the P word, I think we can move on.
Yes.
You guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Some more Star Wars news. It's only disappointing to Mena Massad, but Ezra Bridger has been cast. And it turns out that it is not Mena Massad who was in Aladdin. It's actually Iman Esfandi, who I don't know any of his work. He's going to be in an upcoming film called King Richard. And he's been cast as Ezra Bridger in the upcoming Ahsoka Tano film. And Mena Massad did series. Not mince. Hmm?
Series.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say movie?
Yeah.
Sorry. Series. Mena Massad did not mince words, saying that he felt like he didn't get a fair shot. He sent in a self video recorded audition for the role of Ezra Bridger, and just I guess it was just radio silence from Disney on that end. His feelings on it are kind of fascinating, because to this day, I still maintain that he is the weakest link in the Aladdin film. But mm-hmm. Nick, given that you haven't seen anything from this fella, Iman Esfandi, you still haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, have you?
No, and we'll get to one of the reasons why when we talk about a different show.
No, we'll talk about it now.
Okay. I still find the show is hideous. Like the animation style. The
animation style.
Yes, I don't think I could sit through that many seasons of a terrible looking show.
The
graphic
wise, the story was great.
And I'm not confident in.
I think just like the first, I think the first two seasons of Clone Wars, meh. But after that, pretty good.
You sound like a One Piece fan, man. You got to make it 400 episodes in before it gets good.
You do. You do. And the sad thing is I'm like 100 and something chapters in the One Piece and I still haven't kept going. I'm busy. I have things to do. And so, yeah, I do think that the first two season of Rebels and probably the first two seasons of Clone Wars, like, okay, but they really pick up after that. And I don't know. I think that the story, one, I think going into Ahsoka Tano, you'll be missing a lot. The same way that people were freaking out during parts of Boba Fett as certain characters popped up, I think that you will be missing those moments going forward because you didn't watch those.
Like the crew of the Ghost and their the painting mural that has been seen in the Ahsoka footage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There was a scene in Rogue Squadron. I think it was...
Or you guys.
That's not the same. So... when that's like saying that you could read a Wikipedia about Age of Ultron or any of the Avengers movies or anything that had Captain America in it, and you would still get the same feeling in Endgame. Mm. That's not true.
That.
There's an emotional investment from
true that,
going
as far as I'm
that
agreeing with you.
So it'll be interesting to see how they balance that, right? Because I think the Ghost was in Rogue Squadron, and were they in Rise of Skywalker?
You mean Rogue One? Yeah.
Rogue One. I was wondering if they were in Rise of Skywalker. I'm pretty sure they were in Rogue One.
It was seen.
So yeah, little stuff like that. Like people are like, yay. And you kind of miss out on that. But anyway, is there anything that would cause you to watch that? Do you care? Do you care at all? No.
Not the anime stuff, but I'll totally watch. He's going to be on Ahsoka, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally watch any live action show.
Yeah. But I feel like you.
I'm actually going through a different universe right now, starting with basically episode one of the 90s Star Trek. Stuff or late 80s. Yeah. That's what Nick's been watching when we get to the end. Next gen. So I think it'll be a while before I have time for Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I watched part of it. I watched the movie, which is the first three episodes, and I thought it was appalling.
Oh, Encounter at Farpoint?
I don't even know what it was called. They packaged the first storyline. It's the one with the flamboyant hut. That's all I remember. No, I'm talking about Star Wars. Now I'm talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, again. I'm like, what the f-
Not to who watches yet. No, I'm talking about I watched the first three episodes of the animated Star Wars and was very not impressed. I know you said it gets better after two seasons, but So then I thought, Farpoint, that was the Trek episode. That's what you were talking about.
You said that's the universe I'm in. I watched the first two episodes. I'm starting it. Just the sequence of events. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Funny. Okay.
So yeah, I'll watch him in live action, but I still don't care enough to go back and watch the animated.
I'm really curious how the mileage will vary for people that invested in Clone Wars and Rebels. Because Ahsoka's story spans both of those. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, speaking of things that you don't want to watch because they're hideous looking, Tales of the Jedi.
Yep. That's the one.
Apparently they like Clone Wars. They're doubling down on their Tales of the Jedi Clone Wars stuff. So this one's actually going to drop relatively soon. So October 26th. If you're interested in Clone Wars, you get to see a younger version of Dooku, Qui-Gon, Mace is back. We get some Yaddle.
I didn't notice Yaddle in there because I was like, Qui-Gon was his master.
Yeah. So I'm really curious. This hasn't even piqued your interest, has it? It looks slightly better than Clone Wars used to.
Oh, all of it looks better than the picture. Sure, I've seen that's the most hideous of all of it is the original design for Dooku or Dooku or whatever, where he's like got this solid like N64 beard.
His point is sharp.
Yeah.
So you're gonna watch it?
Tales of the Jedi? No.
Yeah. Why? Same reason.
And what even is it? Is it an anthology show that jumps around, or is it like a prequel to Attack?
I think so.
It's anthology.
I thought it was an anthology. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was interesting to learn that Qui-Gon's master was Dooku. That was a fun revelation. But
yeah. I'm interested in
mentioning that. Oh, well, I guess Qui-Gon would have been dead by the time he fought Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think that at the end of Clone Wars, I was perfectly happy with where it ended. But going back into this world and jumping around in different eras and getting to see these people at different times in their lives and periods of time that we didn't know them, like Dooku, we might get more insight into why he was like, you know what? I'm done with this. Fuck you guys. I'm going home. Which I'm kind of excited about. And getting to see him interact with Qui-Gon and getting to see Mace at a different period. I'm curious if we'll get to see what happened with Yaddle, because Yaddle was on the Jedi Council and just seemed to fuck off. And until we see it officially, we don't know. So that'll be fun, I think.
I'll watch it. Pretzel between the movies.
Have we ever seen Yoda eat anything?
He gives Luke stew or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Muppets can't eat, so only Luke eats.
That's fine. I want to see that. I will watch it and report back to you, knowing that you will not be interested in watching.
I'd like a report. Danny watches the animated stuff, right?
Yeah, no, he went back and watched it after we didn't shut up about it. Or probably me. I don't think Jammer watched it all. It's mostly me.
I can't remember if Jammer does or not. Yeah.
I don't think he does. I think he gives zero fucks about it. But yeah. Next month, October, you get to see some more Tales of the Jedi. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good time. So we'll see. We'll see. Different eras, different Jedi, different time stuff. Ready to move on to some Marvel?
I need to pause time out real quick. I'll be right back.
Recording stopped.
Did that fart turn into a shit?
There.
Cool. Welcome back, Nick.
Yeah. I'd like not to go again. I'm feeling sick, but let's do it.
No. All right. So moving on from Star Wars to Marvel. I would like to have a conversation beginning with what we didn't get. I think, and you can tell me if this applies to you, Nick, as well. A lot of people were disappointed, right? So there is a, you know, to paraphrase Steppenwolf, no Fantastic Four, no X-Men, no Deadpool. And I think people were really upset by that. So we've got a lot of folks who were kind of expecting either to see Reed Richards, to see Sue Storm, because they were heavily rumored to be cast already. So there were rumors about Jodie Comer being cast as Sue Storm and potentially either Krasinski or Ben Bagley. It's either Bagley or Bagley. Mm. We'll go with Bagley because I like Ed Bagley Jr. and I'm really curious, at least with that, what do you think the deal is with casting? Why are they holding off so much?
I don't even think they're holding off. I just think it's way early in the process. Like, that movie's like 4 years away, 3 years away. It's beginning of phase six, but we're still in phase six, but phase five hasn't even started yet. Like, someone pointed out more with the mutants where they're like, of course they haven't cast a single mutant. So that's probably not even going to be part of phase six unless it's Secret
Wars. No. Miss Marvel's a mutant.
Well, yeah. Da-na-na-na-na-na.
You mean mutant that you care about?
Well, I don't think we're going to get any of the X-Men mutants. Maybe teases here and there, but I don't think we'll get any of the... Maybe even a few of the D-list ones, just because Marvel's really good about turning D-list,
who's a D-list
characters.
Who's a D-list mutant?
One, I mean, I'm talking about one I can't name. That's how D-list It's like I've never heard of Guardians of the Galaxy, and now it's like a worldwide phenomenon.
You mean the doll list.
The doll list. I know a lot of mutants that were never in the movies, but...
So let me ask you about that. So you said that we're 3-4 years out from this? By contrast, Mahershala Ali was cast as Blade in July of 2019.
And the Avengers movies have writers and even possible director for six.
And so we, based on that timeline, I think it's weird. Blade has been cast. We've at least heard his voice. We haven't seen him in a movie yet, which means that his movie is probably at least another year off, which would mean cast in 2019 and we don't get a movie for him until 2024.
I think they're kinging him. Like, Kang was cast so early because they're going to use him somewhere else.
Okay. So then just a voice. So that's my same question about Fantastic Four then. Like, it seems like a very long, long time not to announce them, especially given the fact that we were kind of expecting it to happen already. But that's just
there was a lot of stuff that the Jammer and I discussed last week. Like, they're supposed to just parade out Henry Cavill and Giancarlo Esposito and stuff, and it was like, no,
yeah,
didn't happen. And I really expected a lot of Phase Six slots to be filled in. But again, it makes more sense not to do that yet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, moving on to some stuff that we did get. So Thunderbolts, that is, I guess, kind of Suicide Squad. What is it? Some sort of Marvel Suicide Squad. I'm kind of curious what do you think about the positioning of this? Because it looks like Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier is going to be kind of like the Rick Flag of the group. He's the most stable one of everyone in that lineup. So for everybody's reminder, we've got Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova. We've got Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes. We've got Wyatt Russell as U.S. Agent. Olga Kirilenko as the Taskmaster. David Harbour as Red Guardian. Hannah John Kamens as Ghost. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Val. There are some notable absences from that. We've got no Red Hulk. We've got no Baron Zemo. We've got not necessarily an absence, but a curious one, Abomination.
And Justin Hammer.
There. And just, were we expecting Justin Hammer? Do you think we were?
I'm expecting him somewhere, especially since they're bringing back Leader. Somewhere. They have to be bringing back Justin Hammer.
We all want him.
Yeah, we want him.
They brought back everyone at this point. Now they brought back Leader. They're bringing back Leader in a future project.
Here's what I think about that. I think we are moving towards wrapping up the Hulk story. So if you look at who they brought back, they brought back Abomination. They brought back Leader. They've introduced a new Hulk. So I think we're, and he's now going to what we assume is to the beginning of, yeah, I was going to say Sakaar, to do some sort of worldwide or Planet Hulk or something of that nature. And so it feels like we're moving towards the end of his story. That's why I think those folks have been brought back, but I could be wrong.
Definitely feels like I've mentioned this before, and with the casting announcement, it definitely feels, I would say, more like the Avengers than it will be the Suicide Squad, at least in style. I don't think we're going to get a lot of pop songs and deaths and stuff. I feel like it's there. There's, because I found it really interesting that Kevin Feige announced the Avengers don't exist right now. It's like, oh, this is our team then for now. Some of them are shady. I love Sebastian Stan's quote about he's the most normal one on the team.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about the team. And for some reason, I forgot David Harbour could even be one of the people in it. And now he's, I mean, I love David Harbour and I love Red Guardian. So he's actually the one I'm most excited for, besides Bucky and the new Black Widow.
Let me ask you guys
a what's up
question about it. So in the comics run, and I'm not a page to panel or page to screen type person, but just, you know, I do like bad guys. So, but in the comics, it's a team usually made up of more bad guys than anti-heroes. And in here, we've literally got at the forefront with the new Black Widow and Bucky, two fully reformed, outright good guys, you know, like complete, they're good guys. Harbour, who showed himself to be, you know, relatively rehabitable, if you will, like he could be on the good team. And then you've got Ghost, who was literally helped by Avengers him. And as far as we know, is also on the good side. The only real truly questionable ones are Taskmaster, who was, you know, victim of, yeah, and I air quote the hell out of Taskmaster.
I was thinking about US Agent.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say
even his series, even he's like fighting alongside Cap and Bucky, but
he's still questionable because he's got the serum and his personality wasn't, you know, as pure as Rod. Like they said, the serum can enhance the worst of you as well. So despite him having some sympathetic moments, he's still a danger and potential. It's weird. What do you guys think about this being more anti-hero, more almost Guardians on Earth than it is a Thunderbolts or a Suicide Squad?
So I don't think that US Agent, there's no way that, definitely not at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier, that I think that he was redeemed, right?
No.
The iconic shot from that, almost that entire series, is him bludgeoning somebody with Captain America's shield to death. Like,
yes.
And then the next opening scene of the following episode is blood dripping from it. So that's why I was like, problematic.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate that into here, because of all of those people, right? Taskmaster was mind controlled. So there was some sort of, you know, unwillingness to go along with that. And so based on that, actually everybody, right? Yelena was tricked. Bucky Barnes was brainwashed. Taskmaster was controlled. Red Guardian, not so much.
He was not really that bad of a guy to begin with.
He was never that bad.
I mean, who knows what his super soldier serum has done to him or whatever, but yeah.
So of these folks, really the only one that kind of did what they did willingly was John Walker.
Yeah.
So
and Val. She is dirty politician, government.
I don't know yet, right? Like, what's her bad thing?
Well, no, I'm saying that the feel of it is.
Oh,
the,
yeah. She the just kind of feels angle and what slimy. You,
yeah, exactly.
Slimy Nick Fury.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do wonder. I have two villain propositions for it. One, Dr. No. I mean, not Dr. No. It's Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom. I missed. Yeah. Doom, because the next movie is Fantastic Four. Or some of the people we're missing. One of them is Zemo. Who's traditionally the leader of, I mean, there's so many versions of the Thunderbolts. There's a Doctor Strange Thunderbolts. There's a Thunderbolts that has the Punisher and Daredevil. I mean, not Daredevil, Deadpool on it at the same time. And they're mostly good guys. So it really depends on what run you're looking at. Leader has even been on the Thunderbolts. Like, so it really like that. That's a team that gets mixed up even more than the Avengers, though. The recent Avengers comics, they try to hold themselves like the rule of six and they kind of go in and out. I didn't like that. Go in and out. But I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see who their villain is. I heard there was, again, I didn't look into it enough, so I'm not prepared. I heard that if you type in the URL and look at, if you figure out a code on it, you see a picture of Baron Zemo. That's just something I read in an article.
Sorry, hit the button twice. There was an actual URL to a article or a feed from D23 about Thunderbolts, and it had Zemo's name in the URL. It wasn't anything like about code. It was just the title. You know how like on our back end, if you put a title in, it'll generate a URL, but you can change the title. And if you don't go in and manually change the URL, then anything in that original title will still be in there. So I think that might be of what happened.
Because I think that Zemo is also the least reformed of the group, and his main mission is destroy all superhumans. And in this, we have three super soldiers right up front.
I don't know. So, I haven't seen John Walker dance yet. I feel like Baron Zemo might have him beat on the reform thing. So I don't know. Plus, he likes trouble, man. No. No, I think
it's love.
You do love what?
Oh, just that scene, that great conversation.
Scene.
Yeah,
great scene. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Last question I have for you on this, Nick, is who are they going after? So if the Avengers are gone, what is this team for? What do you need to call in these people for? Because the idea was, right, there was an idea. If the Avengers are the folks that you call in that save the world, these are still people that are sanctioned by the government, which I think also answers Kyle's question about they're not that bad, right? They can't be dirty because they still work for the government, the U.S. government. Val still works for somebody in the U.S. government. What are you calling these people for? You can't call Sam for what? What are they doing?
I mean, it could be a number of bad guys. I guess I'm my best
guess. Yes, I know. I'm asking team. You.
Like, I guess next best guess is another team or Dr. Doom. I don't see like another alien army or something. But it is interesting. It reminds me of the David Harbour line from Suicide Squad, where he's like, what if Superman ripped the roof off the White House? And then you look at the team and you're like, none of them could touch Superman.
Yeah, none of them could do
this
shit.
This team seems much more effective than the Suicide Squad as far
they've
as
got three fucking super soldiers.
Yeah.
Right?
They could actually do some damage. So
yeah. So interesting. Okay.
They could we'll see. Hunting Avengers. Like,
I don't think that I could find myself to be interested in this project until I find out who the villain is, and I think it's very interesting that we don't know yet. So
what if they're the first team to fight and lose to Kang?
What if they're the villain? I would love it,
like, because Kang has the great lines, especially in the footage that was shown, where he's like, you're an Avenger, he's like, have I killed you before?
Yeah. Which is funny, because I think at that point, everybody knows who Scott Lang is. And I think it's whatever his
legend is. Well, because he's from a different universe.
Well, yeah, whatever. I was just going to say, whatever his legend is on other planets or other timelines, like, Kang is still like, I don't fucking know who you are. He's not temporally known. He's only locally known. Mm. But moving from one super soldier set of super soldiers to one non super soldier, but still sort of interrelated. We're going to talk about the New World Order, Captain America. So this one should be kind of interesting. No footage was shown for this one, but we know that Julius Ona, who directed Cloverfield Paradox, is directing this one. I haven't seen that yet. Nick, have you seen that?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, I watched it right after the Super Bowl. It's fine. Like,
Getting fine. An east-west from Kyle over here.
It's not the direction, it's the writing.
I see.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I don't know. I didn't feel like I wanted my time back. I'm glad I saw it. Well, I'd probably watch it again if I saw it floating somewhere, just out of curiosity.
What's it on? Is it on Netflix or is it on Hulu?
It was on Netflix.
When it first came out. They like put out the ad for it like during the Super Bowl. And then I didn't even finish the Super Bowl. I left the room and turned on Cloverfield Paradox.
Nice.
It's got one nice. Good
man after my own heart.
It's got one really, really good body horror moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always down for that.
I'll check it out. I'll give it a try. I'll add it to the
list. Don't put it high on the list, but
I'll add it to the list.
Keep it on the list, yeah.
Added it to the list. So other things about this film, the big announcement from D23. So in addition to Carl Lumley coming back as Isaiah Bradley, we've got Tim Blake Nelson returning as leader, who we were just discussing momentarily. Well, a moment ago, not momentarily. Mm-hmm. That's future. So I still think that between this casting of the leader and Abomination, that we're going to be moving on from the Hulk. But I'm curious, within the context of Captain America, there's another thing that I find interesting. So we're not going to get a Sebastian Stan in this film, as far as we know. Right. So that's kind of disappointing. But what kind of threat do you think that the leader is going to pose to Sam Wilson? So he's certainly more cerebral, but he does definitely has like a physical aspect to him.
Oh, does he? I thought he was just brain man, like super smart, would like maneuver, especially the themes coming after Falcon.
Even
the Winter Soldier,
to put it another way,
stuff like that.
Even the weakest gamma creation is stronger than a human.
I thought he was mostly ahead with like, I thought he was more like MODOK.
I was going to say, you're thinking honestly, of MODOK.
Because I thought he was someone that even a normal Captain America could just punch in the face, and his superpowers are intelligence.
We'll see.
It's really, yeah, I just thought it was a really interesting choice for that to pre the project. They bring him back in. Of course, I like seeing all these characters redeemed from movies I barely consider canon, and it makes it feel more like canon. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a very interesting choice. I don't know what Cap villain you'd pick for a Sam Wilson Cap movie, but it could tie into the comic a lot more with leader manipulating stuff, though we've already seen this in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but they kind of mentioned it in early. Didn't the writer mentioning it early on where he's like, yeah, this is going to be a movie about Captain America, like Sam Wilson finding his place as a black Captain America, even though we just spent a series on that. I remember us talking about that and being like, hey, we already saw that in the series, but it could be leader manipulating people, especially the government. Cause as we, like I said, when we came off Falcon and the Winter Soldier, there's a lot of like, everything's still in turmoil. Like the rich control everything and countries aren't what they seem and people are displaced.
Yeah.
Even though we've seen them getting past that in Phase 4, and it hasn't been mentioned since then.
I don't know if you need a super smart person to make people hate a black Captain America, but
yeah. Well, there's more to it than that. I don't know.
Is there?
Maybe leader claims to be superior Avenger sort of character and seems like a good guy for a while. He's manipulating folks. I don't know what his powers are. Can he mind control people or something?
No.
In the head?
He's a strategery. He's kind of like a
original Steve Rogers.
Yeah, the Green Rogers. Like
Rogers.
But Rogers.
Green Rogers.
Play. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I thought it was an interesting choice.
Okay.
I don't know.
He's more
I was
like
expecting,
a. Think of him more like a Lex Luthor type.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, that's the best way I could think of to describe him.
Always got some generic cat bad people working for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think the thing that I'm more excited about this than Tim Blake Nelson coming back is Isaiah Bradley coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because, one, I think that he and Sam had some really powerful scenes together in Falcon and Winter Soldier. But did you guys hear that?
Yeah. Wasn't that on your end?
Yeah, I think a truck might be about to barrel into my house.
Hope not.
I think the thing that I'm the most excited about, we were just talking about mutants, right? And Isaiah Bradley, for me, always is a nexus to the Weapon X program or the Weapon Plus program. And so every time he comes up, I'm like, all right, come on, give me like a Wolverine. America. We've already got like a, like, give me an Omega Red, right? I'd be excited if they gave us an Omega Red. Give me something. Fucking desperate over here. Starving. So every time you talk about Isaiah Bradley, I feel like I get excited for those other things that he represents in addition to his relationship with Sam Wilson. So we'll see. Thumbs up. Thumbs up from Nick. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
All right. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So you were talking about Kang. This also ties into Loki. And I'm sorry, I forgot to say, 3 May 2024 for that Captain America. So it's kind of a long runway to find out. So we'll get some more details about what's going to happen with that going forward. But Ant-Man is February of next year, and Loki is summer of 2023. And it'll be fun to see what kind of havoc Kang wreaks on these two individuals, because there was some footage shown of Ant-Man and the Wasp. And what it makes it apparent is that Kang is just a big player. But what I find kind of interesting, it seems like Kang needs something from Scott. And it's interesting to me that as powerful as Kang is supposed to be, what is it that he needs Scott to do? So it seems like we're going to move from a time heist to a quantum heist. Maybe. We'll see. But we also got footage of Loki, and much like we got towards the end of the last season, there is a reveal of, you know, faces of Kang variants within statues inside of the Timekeeper's headquarters. So Kang is all over the place. Peyton Reed has praised Jonathan Majors' performance as Kang. He called him a young Marlon Brando. And Michelle Pfeiffer said that the story for Quantumania, she said it gets dark at times. And it's darker than we've gone before. And it's epic. And my question for you, Nick, is given that this is the third film in this series and it gets dark, who's going to die? Somebody's got to die.
I know. I hope it's Hank. No, Hank would be a good one. I really don't want to see Paul Rudd die. I was going to say, take any of the rest except for his daughter or him.
He's Hank's definitely a good not going to be his daughter.
Let's say Hank, too.
You think it's going to be Hank?
Yeah, at least. I wouldn't be surprised if they did kill off Paul Rudd, but that would be very disappointing. Because they are doing away with a lot of the original Avengers. I mean, he's not original.
He's not original recipe, yeah.
He's original as far as comics. I don't know.
What if it's Michael Pena? If it's Michael Pena, I'm going to fucking riot. If they kill Luis, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
That would be the most painful.
Man, that would be the darkest death that they could possibly. It would be.
There was this one time where Kang showed up and he stabbed me through the chest.
Terrible. Fucking terrible.
I agree.
So I do think that certainly going forward, it would probably either be Michael Douglas or Michelle Pfeiffer that are going to X out. And more likely, Michael Douglas, right? Just because he's probably further on in years. And also, we've already had a fake death with Janet Van Dyne.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that would be my rationale for thinking that it probably is going to be Hank. So I agree with you. But yeah, if it's Luis, I'm going to be real upset.
The most minor of characters, Kang's
like, whatever.
Flip.
Fuck you, minor. He's not like Darcy. I'd be alright if Darcy is Darcy. Is that her name? Yeah, I'd be alright.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him, but they totally wasted not using him to do a recap before Endgame.
Yeah.
And so it's like, is there even a point now?
There isn't one. Like they needed to bring it back. I think he and Darcy need to meet, just hang out. I don't need like a love thing, but just like a, oh man. And then just start talking a mile a minute. I remember the scene from Young Justice where two of the Flashes were talking and we saw from the perspective of another character and we couldn't understand what they were saying because they were talking so fast. I want that. Darcy and Louise, give me that. Anyway,
just the typical young Marlon Brando sitcom. Like,
yeah,
sitting like sharing an apartment, paying the bills.
Something, something. But yeah, Jonathan Majors, young Marlon Brando, should be good. I'm looking forward to this. Because we're going to have him in Ant-Man, we're going to have him in Loki, and then that's eventually going to build towards the next Avengers film. So we get to see what he is capable of. Should be fun.
Yeah. I've loved Jonathan Majors ever since Loki and the other stuff we've seen him in since then. He shines. That was like the first time I really took notice was Loki. And like we saw him in that one awesome Western. For me, I mean, what had he been in before that? The show that Jammer and I didn't even finish, Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, Lovecraft Country.
Told us not even to finish it.
Did I?
That's really the only thing I'd seen him in before that. Then he blew up after that, like the other Western we watched.
Yeah, the ending to Lovecraft Country.
You liked it right up until the end. What happened.
Yeah, the ending, not so great. But it was good. It was good right up until the end. You gotta stick that landing, baby. Those landings are hard, though. I'll admit that. Landings are hard. There was a... You ready to move on?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like you want to talk about Quantumania. Let's move on. We've got some Wakanda Forever type stuff. Apparently, you know, everyone thinks that because T'Challa's dead, fuckers, that the vibranium that is in Wakanda is up for grabs. Basically, that it is too dangerous for the Wakandans to have on their own. That is a scene that we got between the Queen of Wakanda and some leaders around the world. I think it was a UN meeting and Angela Bassett was holding the fort down, basically telling them to fuck off. I'm still not quite on board with what I've seen from the film yet, just because I want what I want and I'm not going to get it. And until I see what they've done and if it's better, until I see it, I'm probably going to be skeptical. There's just no other way to say it. But it should be interesting going forward. It's nice that they're going to introduce Riri Williams. I'm interested in seeing her as a character before she gets her own series and then see how she interacts with Don Cheadle in Armor Wars. So it's going to be fun seeing her as a character that has a thread and arc throughout the course of the MCU. Did you read anything about the footage that was shown?
Not a lot, just basically like something about a government unit coming in and forcefully trying to take vibranium. That's all I think I read. I didn't even read if there were any Namor clips or anything. Namor.
So yeah, I think it'll be interesting going forward. I'm really curious to see how this is going to turn out. That's really all I can say about it. I have deep-seated personal feelings, way too invested in this film to be objective about it, but I'll give it my best shot. But I won't have to wait long. November.
Question, Jonesy. Yep. One of the, because I know a lot of people that are like you as far as the recast T'Challa over killing him off. Is the idea that some have floated of, you know, Killmonger didn't die, T'Challa did heal him up. Is that one possibility where Killmonger comes in that this becomes a, I don't want to say good movie, but does that alleviate anything enough for you?
No. Okay. So my feeling on this, I need to write a piece about it. And part of it is every time I sit down to try and write it, I get too feely about it. I don't care who you put in a Black Panther suit. Like I really don't. It could be Shuri. It could be Nakia. It could be you could be like, hey, we're going to bring back Killmonger and we're going to stick him in a suit. I think as a character, T'Challa meant so much and had such a good arc. And it's funny because I'm wearing a Superman shirt. I was watching the second season of Superman and Lois, and there was a scene between Superman and one of his sons. And the things that stuck out to me the most about T'Challa as a character, I loved watching him interact with his father. Those were really strong scenes to me, like just very slow and tender moments, like his father putting his hand on his face when his father passed away, and then having them interact with each other in the spirit realm. Swapping out who's in the suit doesn't bring that back. And then that moment between Superman and his son, there was a rumor that Nakia was going to be pregnant with T'Challa's son. Like, now you're talking about raising this black child in the world without a father, and watching this moment of Superman and his son, because I'm going to spoil this. Superman was helping his son learn how to fly, and his son learned how to fly, and like they're jumping up and down on the ice in the Arctic, like all excited. And you feel something watching that scene. And I get that the film is called Black Panther, and I get that you can put whoever you want in the Black Panther suit, but there are moments that you will just lose like that. And for me as a father, that's hard.
I've had a question about that. Obviously, it's not happening for this movie. People are still tweeting it. You guys,
it's not happening.
Like, do you want a variant for them to fix it in the future? Pull a variant out and then have T'Challa back in 616? Or is it just people are just tweeting it knowing it'll never happen?
I mean, at this point, I am fairly certain that it won't happen. And I would almost be happier if it turned out that Nakia was not going to have his love child out of wedlock and it has continued the series as is. Okay. I think my brain could deal with that slightly easier than those other feelings of this kid growing up without his father. Cool. So what else? Anything else on Black Panther?
Nah.
All right. What else we got? I didn't ask you about Loki.
Anything about it. I mean, I know there was stuff, but I really didn't. I really only paid attention to like the trailers and Thunderbolts.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm curious what I know there has to be a benefit, right? You have paid for a hotel, you've paid for a ticket, you've traveled to this place. So there has to be a benefit to the bargain for going to D23 versus everyone else that just sits at home. Because if they release everything at home, then you're sitting there like, well, why did I spend all this money to come here? And so from that perspective, I understand it. But it does kind of suck to just only at this point be able to read reactions to some of this footage that was released. But
that mostly applies to me and goddamn Indiana Jones. Don't even have a fucking title yet. Lucasfilm fucked up.
Did they?
I felt so.
I mean, they probably have a title. You just don't know what it is yet. No, we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk one more thing, and then we'll get into the Lucasfilm offerings. So the last Marvel project I wanted to talk about, and then certainly if you wanted to talk about the Marvels, you could. That's just not my bag.
Nah, I'm okay skipping the Marvels.
All right. So Secret Invasion, we're going to get that in spring of 2023. So at this point, what I found interesting about this, Don Cheadle is done with his Marvel contract. So he is, you know, he said he's down for whatever at this point, if it looks interesting, if he wants to do it, but he's not obligated to do so. It looks like it has more spy thriller type vibes. It definitely has more of a Winter Soldier type vibe to it than any of the other things that we've seen. And it looks fun. It looks interesting. Paranoid
thriller.
Yeah. A paranoid, isolated Nick Fury. And I like what we've gotten so far. I'm making a guess. I'm assuming that Kingsley Benadire, who we talked about when we were reviewing One Night in Miami, is going to be the main villain.
That but, he's a character in that one room, just everyone. Talos is there, and he just everyone in the room turns into him.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Now, this is going to be different than the 2000s version of this comic book, where yeah. you know it was is this Avenger a Skrull? Like who's this? And it was really who could you trust? This seems like it's going to be scaled back significantly. That's just my impression from the trailer. It would have to be.
I don't know how you could pull off like that's an Avengers level movie or threat, not like a TV show whose yeah. main characters are Nick Fury and Talos.
Yeah. Question for you. Do you think that, so in addition to getting the return of Colby Smulders, we're also going to get, his name just jumped out of my head. Who is the agent from Black Panther?
Martin Freeman. I noticed
yeah, thank
him.
You.
Everett Ross Freeman. Is the character.
Everett yes. Ross.
Everett
who
Ross,
says he's
you.
A big part in Wakanda Forever in the early
yes.
early days about it.
So he's also going to be in this. One of the questions I have for you, Nick, is do you think we'll ever see Coulson again? There's a rumor that potentially Coulson and or Quake might be in this.
I don't think we see Coulson again unless they do no. another prequel.
Okay.
Not prequel, but set earlier in the timeline. I really honestly think, with the exception of making Black Bolt look sweet and having a tiny cameo from a different universe, that we won't see any of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Though mm-hmm. I'd love to see like 1,000 Patton Oswalt brothers hanging out together. That was one of the weirdest and favorite things about Agents
so
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So strange. They didn't even give like a real explanation. It's just like, yeah, this just is.
This is the new guy who looks like the last guy.
It just is.
I have no predictions as to who's a Skrull or not. And this actually kind of convinced me one of my theories was wrong. When she's like, where were you? Like, I called you like 1,000 times. And he's like, well, this is the one I need to face. Because my theory has always been there never was a Maria Hill. She always was a Skrull working alongside him. But that for some reason, that line makes me think that I was incorrect in assuming that.
Okay.
I just want someone to rationalize how a few months ago Kevin Feige said that this was set during the blip. And obviously that's an impossibility because you have Maria and Nick who were both snapped out. And even if there's Skrulls pretending to be them, it's not, she's saying, I've been trying to contact you for 3 years and Nick has been on the spaceship, which we know is post return. So
right.
there were rumors that this went through a crap ton of reshoots and why it's even been pushed further back. And when you start thinking about the subject matter of Skrulls and shapeshifters, you can easily see how they could have, yeah, sure, we'll set it during one time, but now we can move it to another and not lose everything
yeah.
but it still makes me a bit concerned about the editing for this series. What do you guys think on that?
I'm not worried at all, because almost every show has every movie literally has from Disney reshoot time built into it, including contracts, which keeps Chris Evans' schedule open, for example.
Yeah,
I mean,
part of the movie making process today.
I'm not concerned about
reshoot time is different than the actual story.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, this is allegedly reshooting for changes, not additional photography, not, you know, let's get some retakes on this angle, or this is like, again, allegedly drastic changes. And you can see that there has been a drastic change even from a few months ago of Feige saying during the blip versus what we're seeing here, where it's obviously post. So
yeah.
I don't know. If you're not worried, what do you think, Jonesy?
I think, yeah, they made a significant number of changes to that. And I think the closest thing that I can think of is we were just talking about She-Hulk. There are clear indications that things got moved around just based on the way some of the characters are acting. And While I don't think that it is as impactful on a sitcom, on a courtroom comedy style show, certainly in a spy thriller, that would completely fuck it up. And so I think just based on the substantive part of what they're dealing with, the serious tone that they're going for, that could cause an issue. We'll see. I'm curious. I need to look and see what the original timeline for this was, because I'm wondering if any of this was supposed to tie into the Marvels as well, given that the Skrulls were such big players in that movie. So I don't know. But yeah, I think you're right that substantively it could be more problematic than certainly anything else. Best I got. We'll see. I said we were going to move on to Lucasfilm, but there's one more thing I want to throw out there, mostly because Nick, you and I know how much we both like musical scores, and Michael Giacchino, he's not going to be making a score, I don't think, but he is going to be directing Werewolf by Night.
It looks obviously did rather. It comes out next month.
Yeah, and it comes out in October.
It has a full trailer.
I like the trailer we got. It has that old black and white, old timey feel. It's sort of grindhousey, but not.
Yeah.
It's just like it's right on the cusp of that. And so it's like one of those films that came on at 11 o'clock at night or something like that on a Friday night that you would just watch and you're like, where'd this movie come from? Like, this is just so beyond your
monster
your
lifetime vision.
And your era. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm looking forward to it just from that perspective. And I hope it does well, mostly because I like it when they try new things, even if they don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is a film that stars Gael García Bernal, and Werewolf by Night, to the best of my knowledge, is a Moon Knight villain antagonist.
Mm-hmm. First appeared in a Moon Knight issue.
Yeah. And I think there was a time when people thought that the wolf thing that whatever it was, the dog / wolf thing that he was beating up in Moon Knight was Werewolf by Night. That was proven not to be true.
Yeah.
But we still ended up getting a Werewolf by Night series anyway.
Well, special, right? Isn't it like a 40-minute special?
Yeah.
In fact, someone asked James Gunn, will his be called a holiday, sir? Or special also. He's like, yep, mine will have the same logo up front, which is like a Marvel presentation, not like,
which is cool.
Yeah,
I like that that special logo thing. That's fun. So we'll see. I'm
really excited for it.
Do you know his character's name?
No.
Jack Russell. It's so weird. It's goofy. It's fun. That's the level of camp they're going for. So we'll see. You're nodding at me. You know what Jack Russell is, right? You got like kind of this half smile. You're like nodding. Like you don't, like no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
At least you
Jack Russell's here. Dog thing. Dog.
Oh. Oh, okay. I didn't think it was that simple.
Yeah. Super simple. Barely an inconvenience. Moving on to Lucasfilm. Do you want to talk Indiana Jones?
No, we don't have a title. We have a new piece of music that was actually at the Hollywood Bowl first. And I know that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is confirmed to be his goddaughter.
Waller.
And I find her an absolute talent.
So who is her, what's her parentage? Is it Marcus Brody's? No.
Maybe.
We don't know that. Okay.
We don't know, but Frank Marshall tweeted out that she's his goddaughter.
Okay.
Which is their relation. Whereas, like, at first, James Burns was like, is she the child of Marion Ravenwood? And I'm like, no, we already have what? We already met the child of Marion Ravenwood, and he was awful. And they wouldn't have just mentioned a sibling at the wedding and everything. But I was disappointed they didn't share the footage online. The description sounds very exciting. And
yeah,
it does seem like everyone cares more than the last one, especially James Mangold, who's not part of the other ones. So
yes,
I think that'll be the key.
Wolverine and Professor X killing Fame, which is actually one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Do you think that this we will see an end to Indiana Jones in this film?
I don't think they kill off Indiana Jones.
Really? Shocked.
Just like I don't think they would actually kill off Ethan Hunt. And but they should have killed off Batman
or James Bond
Knight trilogy. It did once out of like six Bonds. They'd have done it once. So maybe when we're on our sixth Indiana Jones, this hopefully never happens as far as recasting.
Yeah.
They would kill him.
I'm at this point. So we know that John Rhys Davies is coming back.
Which I'm so excited for.
Yeah. Should be exciting.
Which means it'll be more in like, I missed him in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but we're not even on his part of the globe. So it made sense that he wouldn't be flying out to South America to join them on an adventure. So this,
yeah.
And I love the outfit Mads Mikkelsen gets to wear. It's very reminiscent of the one Nazi with the clothes hanger and the thing. Like it's almost the same costume.
Yeah.
So that sounds like,
So to your point about people caring more, there are a couple of lines from there. So one, I did see Harrison Ford talking about this, that footage. I don't know if it got released or if it was leaked, but he's basically about to cry on stage talking about this movie. And the line that he was saying, excuse me, when he was talking about, he said, this is it. And he sounded like he was about to cry when he said, this is it. And then he said, I will not fall down for you again, but thank you so much. He said, this one is fantastic. And then he was talking about Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And he said, we have a very human story in a movie that will kick your ass. And as he's saying that, he talks about the heart that's in the film. And he starts talking about that's because of her. And he's getting visibly choked up talking about that. So, yeah, to your point about how good this film is, people
there's
who
no way to know, but
well, so I was about to say there are people who, you know, part of the job is to sell their movies.
Yeah,
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the kind of person that gives zero fucks.
They seems brought me back for Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just like I don't like whatever. That's not the impression I got from him on this, and so that is the thing that gives me hope. And yeah.
Wasn't he always a bigger fan of his time with Indy than he was as Han? I mean,
yeah, he always wants to get killed off when he's Han. Indy's always like, yeah, let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
You came asking.
Let's do it again, baby. I saw something about some de-aging tech that they were supposedly going to use in this film. Any guesses as to why?
I think the opening does take place during World War II.
Really?
When they were shooting stuff with the castle and Toby, I forgot his last name, was there. He was Armandola. Keith. Yeah, Keith. No,
that's Keith. A country singer.
Yeah.
Toby Jones.
Yeah, Toby Jones.
Oh, my God.
And I know.
Harrison
joking, Ford.
Jonesy, were you joking? Yes. Okay,
thank God. I knew he was wrong, too.
No, but, you didn't. You said yes.
No, I didn't. Not that one.
Roll the tape. Go back. He's definitely like, yeah.
Didn't agree with
Toby
you.
Toby Keith.
But I probably said yes, not even listening. And I'm like, no. It's like Keith Urban and Carl Urban. I used to get those confused as far as names, not people. The first
so
set photos that
now?
Leaked had the castle. Toby Jones is with Indy. There's a Nazi train, and there are dots all over Harrison Ford's face. But it still wouldn't fit. I would cast someone else to play his body.
Do you guys know about the other potential reasons for de-aging and stuff? You guys
I'm
know,
trouble.
Yeah. You guys are tracking that, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You guys know what?
I'm curious. I don't know if that's true. Given it's fascinating to me, people have no issues with like Arks of the Covenant or the Cup of Christ, but interdimensional aliens, like fuck that shit. And so I'm curious, did they take the wrong lesson from that and they will just avoid that? Or if they're just going to lean into it and be like, yeah, time travel, baby.
Oh, the the footage of the Roman boats and the centurions that got severely shoved down and nipped would work too because of cut. Anyways, nipped by Disney and Lucasfilm. Kind of, I mean, they usually don't try to quash things like that when it's, you know, when it's plausible that, you know, when it feels like it could be or couldn't be things that they really didn't want out. But who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I could be more exciting if they're doing with time travel, actually going through time?
At the same time, it could easily be a flashback where he's talking about like, oh, the Romans had this. Mm-hmm. No, even though I don't think they've done that before either. If he's just always giving and like talking about the Ark of the Covenant and drawing stuff on the boards, we don't get like a flashback to like Egypt or anything. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, because I've heard that rumor and one of the things they had on display was a clock looking device. So
yeah.
Yeah. Shut up, cat.
So yeah, we'll see. Summer of 2023 for a subtitleless Indiana Jones film. Indiana Jones and the Time Turner? I don't know. I'm not bad at this. I'm not good at this. Ready to move on?
Yeah.
This is the final thing that I want to talk about. Willow, baby. My parents, to hear them tell it, I wore this fucking VHS out. They're probably right. Like, I love that film growing up. I loved it. And so we live in an era where Amazon has Lord of the Rings, HBO has House of the Dragon, Netflix has, they've got something, they've got The Witcher. And so Disney's like, what do we got? What do we got? What are we going to do? They bring out Willow Offgood. That's what they're going to do. And I love it. So we've got a story that sees Sorsha reaching back out to her old friends. Sorsha, playboy by Joanne Whalley, and she's going to kind of reach out to him almost.
Sorry, not to you, to my cat.
Almost Leia style, right? Help me, Willow Offgood. You're my only hope. You helped my husband, Mad Mardigan, during the Stone Wars. Those people got turned to stone, right?
Is that Val Kilmer's character?
Who said Dr. Stone?
Yes. What?
I just heard Stone Wars. Sorry.
Yes, Mad Mardigan, Val Kilmer's character, who they said, even though he is not going to be in the film due to his ongoing health issues, mm-hmm. His presence would be felt. So we know that we already have a daughter of his in the film. We also know that Christian Slater has been cast in the film, and he is going to be a compatriot of Mad Mardigan. So, you know, that seems super appropriate to get Christian Slater, someone who is of that era, same as Val Kilmer. So, yeah, 30 November, this is going to be dropping. And so they dropped some new footage, and I'm all in. It wouldn't have taken much, but I'm back, baby. I'm into it. Do you have any affinity for Willow, Nick?
Well, when the first teaser trailer came out and Jammer and I were kind of flabbergasted that you were that interested. No, I don't remember it well enough. I have no nostalgia built into it. So I would probably rewatch the movie and then actually watch this because it also looks harmless. It doesn't look like something I'd be bored with. In fact, I had no intention of liking Lord of the Rings, but it brought me in. So this TV could show? Totally do the same thing. Yeah. So I'd still, looking back, I don't even want to ever rewatch the movies again, but I'm finding this show within the world fascinating. So
I think I do want to watch them. Not The Hobbit, but it does make me want to at least watch. Yeah, definitely not The Hobbit. But definitely the original trilogy. But going back to Willow, like, man, you turn that James Horner soundtrack. I'm right there, baby. Yeah. Have you heard the song? Have you heard the music? You've seen the movie before.
It's not within my memory banks, but it's probably something I would look up on Apple Music today. So I like James Horner quite a bit.
You can just go to YouTube. YouTube is a thing.
Yeah, but I already pay for Apple Music, so I might as well go on there and not have any commercials.
You pay for YouTube with your data.
I don't use it on the phones.
No, I don't mean your actual... Never mind. I mean, you're tracking the data that you give them just by looking. Your search history.
everything leads towards that. That's my main takeaway from digital marketing.
That's true.
That's how they aim commercials at you.
That's right. That's right.
Which Hulu side quest really quick. Side quest. Hulu is very, very bad at this. Like
at what?
At they don't seem to track it at all, even with what you're watching and your demographic is. Like they've started showing trailers for shows I'm in the middle of watching. Like I'm watching an episode of The Patient and there's like, here's a trailer for The Patient. And it's like, you need a better algorithm, man. Like you should be aiming stuff at me besides car insurance and that. Just because I'm watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia doesn't mean I'm like at the right age for fucking car insurance. So that's just always my rule. Like everyone else is really good at aiming it. No, I already have car. I guess. Well, and then I get like Carvana and stuff. And it's like, if I'm watching a trashy show like Sunny, I can't afford a car.
You know why they've started doing that more than just advertising their own shows, right? Because they can charge money to those advertisers to advertise on their space. And guess what streaming services are in dire need of right now?
Well, that's what's so funny about it. I was
going to become the norm.
For a few weeks, I was like, when was the last time they advertised some of their own stuff? Like, I should be seeing more movie trailers on Prey or like more Hulu trailers.
You will see less.
But now they've switched. Like, like this was a few weeks ago. It kind of made me angry that they're not advertising their own stuff. And now they are. And like, I think it's increased in the last 3 weeks where now I'm seeing lots of trailers for Hulu shows. But
I remember this brief Hulu period.
Are you like coming up on the
2000s?
Sorry, before I forget, Nick, are you coming up on the end of your contract? Maybe they're trying to show you content to keep you. I don't know if you.
No, in fact, my dad just got the Verizon plan that gives you a year of ESPN Plus, Hulu with commercials, and Disney Plus. So
sorry, didn't mean
anything. I just re-upped.
Okay, didn't mean to interrupt, Jonesy.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say, I just remember this brief period during the early to mid 2000s where it used to be you would go into a movie theater and it would just be trailer after trailer after trailer. And then it was car commercials and Mountain Dew commercials and like nothing but commercials. I was like, what the fuck is this? I would like to see something other than what I could just watch on my television. Show me the trailers for the movies that I want to see. And I remember when they scaled that back significantly and went back to trailers. But that was an annoying period of time. There was something that somebody said a little bit ago. It was either Chapek or whoever's in charge of HBO now. Kyle, to your point about streaming services getting more expensive, I thought they said they were thinking about raising the prices.
HBO Max thinks their joint, when they combine with Discovery, will cost more.
And I got an email from Hulu saying they're raising it by $1. So
yeah. Keep telling you guys it's not sustainable. It just
isn't. I have
not you, that was like general
I'll be sad if it ever goes away because
I mean in the beginning it was sustainable.
This is funny. Right.
Say that
before they started doing their own content.
Yeah, in some ways it Netflix still ran in the red. The problem was is they literally depended solely on subscription. So they had to lease content, buy content, and a lot of that content did not necessarily come with merchandising rights. So Netflix wasn't making money on anything but subscribers. So they ran in the red, still do from what I know most of the time. They ran in the red a lot. And that's when they started trying to get things that they could, you know, in-house produce. And again, if you can get some things to sell merchandise, sure, but not everything sells merchandise. And then you go into the conversation that Matt Damon had on that interview, or was it Hot Ones, when he was talking about DVD sales and home video sales.
Was it Hot Ones?
It was Hot Ones. Because I found it funny that he was making that argument on YouTube.
Yeah. And it's a valid point. There are no additional income streams now for these studios. And it's similar to when musicians when Spotify really, really took off in the late 2000s, mid getting into the 20 teens, when Spotify and Pandora were just, delivering music out the ass, and now you got Amazon and YouTube Music, Google Play Music back in the day. You look at what musicians have to, how much more touring they do. And I'm not talking like the top of the top 40 that, you know, $1,000 tickets. No, I'm talking your regular, you know, musicians out there touring musicians have to tour way much more because album sales don't exist and pennies on the song don't matter. And so if they can't tour and sell merchandise, how do they make money? If you're not the estate of a group like the Beatles or say Michael Jackson or you're not Britney Spears right now, who's, you know, alive and able to sell her songs out to be licensed. If you're Newfound Glory and you retire, how do you make a living, you know?
Yeah.
And streaming is very, very similar in that you're shifting the way people not just consume, but pay for that consumption. And there's this whole block of money used to rely on called home video sales and rentals in a way. And those are almost all but gone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it sounds like, I think there was a discussion about HBO moving stuff back to DVDs, right?
They do want to do more off their streaming service. Home video sales and even digital home video, but still home video. The problem is, dude. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say the cat's out of the bag on that one. I will never buy another DVD again. Digital
like
sales,
in case power goes, or not just power goes out, but internet goes out and things like that. So,
I was gonna say when power goes out, like what are you doing?
Well, how are you laptops that have DVD players? You know, yeah, sure.
I don't even have one of those. I haven't had one of those. I was gonna close out the show, but Nick's taking a shit.
I mean, if you're done, we talked music.
We did talk, huh?
I said we talked music for a minute, so it wrapped up, right?
Yeah,
whatever you want to do,
shut it down. But I don't know how long this shit's gonna take. You didn't even say I'll be right back this time. I'm kind of worried.
He heard music and just got him. Oh man.
But he loves music, so I just shit was real bad.
I think it's just the business topic itself. I mean, when it comes to like, I always get accused of simping for billion-dollar businesses, and I'm like, I'm not really though, guys. I want content, and I want
just
my
reality.
Yeah, I want my content of quality and quantity, and streaming has seen that steadily decline. So I'm simping for myself here. I'm very selfish. Anyways, yeah. Nick's back.
I think I've been poisoned by my constituents.
Probably a cat who you told to fuck off.
I locked in the room too.
It just went and shit in your cereal.
I'll show you.
Yeah. I would hope I would notice that. So I do eat Raisin Bran, so.
I'm very disgusted right now, which is a good time to shut down the show.
Yeah, shut her off.
Let's shut her down.
Who watches? I watch Next Generation because I want to get to Deep Space Nine. That's all I have to say about it.
All right.
You really want to get to Deep Space Nine. And they're like, you got to watch it first. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it first.
Hey, that's a good question. So, folks, if you hop on the Discord, let Nick know, what are the episodes of The Next Generation that he should be looking out for? Which are his favorites? So I'll let you know some of mine offline. We'll talk about that.
Cool.
Especially Deep Space Nine. Like, I feel like I have more favorite episodes of Deep Space Nine than I do of The Next Generation. But we'll get to that.
Cool.
Folks, if you like what you heard, do all the socials, like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Like I said, hop on the Discord, let Nick know what episodes of The Next Generation are your favorite. Also, this is really funny. So last week you had to listen to us noobs, non-Tolkien readers, talk about this stuff. Cam and Kyle actually have a show. They're more experts in this field. What's the name of the show? What's the name of the show, Kyle?
It is Review of the Rings.
Review of the Rings. So if you would like to hear some non-struggle bus discussions about Lord of the Rings, you should go check them out. I'm really enjoying the show. Yeah, man.
New episode today for me. Fuck yeah.
It was really funny. Like, Cam was like, yeah, I watched the show. Jesus Christ.
I will say this. Cam said that this is the episode that has won him over, called it beautiful. So, check it out today, guys. And then check out
Review of the Rings. That's interesting. Tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. Check it out tomorrow, folks. I'm going to start watching the show so I can see all of the things that I missed in my watch of Lord of the Rings. But like I said, like, rate, comment, subscribe, share it. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM has other great content. Where else? On the website and on the Genreverse podcast network, like Review of the Rings. Other than that, Nick Dahl, where can you be found?
At Geeky Nick Dahl on Twitter and Instagram, which I really don't use, but we're trying to start using. And then I do Marvel Multiverse Mayhem with Kyle, currently on Thursdays, but you never know what day of the week they're going to be releasing the Marvel content.
You never know.
It used to be Mondays, which was our Triple M, and now it's Mayhem, which is our Triple M. So,
all right. And you can find me tweeting and Instagramming, though not lately, just sometimes, at Sir Jonesius. And of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Thanks to Kyle on the ones and twos for producing the show. And we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't kidding on ya.
Redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.